This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The Highland FFA chapter held its annual banquet last week with a turnout of over 200 people, including FFA members, school board members, local businesses, farmers, and community members. The chapter has had a busy and successful school year, and I took a few minutes to visit with one of their three advisors, Mrs. Renee Barr. Renee, what a great event, and we're celebrating many years for the FFA chapter.
Yep, we've been established since 1932, so this is our 85th anniversary, so it's a big year for us.
Very big. Quite the turnout, a great event. Tell us a little bit about the planning that went into it, and I'm sure there's some people that you want to thank. I know you probably can't remember all of them, but it was a wonderful evening.
Yeah, this planning actually starts, well, back in August at our officer retreat. We start kicking out ideas and things we want to do, and it just kind of keeps developing. The huge major planning starts January, I guess I would say. We kind of have deadlines, you know, since August that we meet, but January and February we really start hitting it, and then once April gets here, we're pretty much all stressed out and ready for it to be here. But there's a lot of people that put in a lot of effort to this. The officers have put in a tremendous amount of work, and we have some incoming officers that also helped out a lot, and a lot of other officers and members that just come and help set up. We've had some alumni members and parents come in and help set up, and it's been very much a huge community chapter effort to get everything squared away.
Well, I can tell by the turnout this evening that it is a community effort, and you must have a great relationship with the community.
Yeah, we don't survive without our community. Parents, our school administrators, our teachers, local businesses, everybody. Highland is a very big and supportive community of our FFA chapter, and we are very blessed and thankful to have the group that we do helping us.
Well, it's awesome, and it shows, and I hope it continues. One of the main things that I was so impressed with, not only the turnout, but you've got to have a lot of kids participating in FFA by the numbers that were here tonight, and it's kind of unique. Highland has three advisors. You don't see that at every school.
Yeah, we've got 75 members. We're actually down a little bit this year. Usually we're right around 100, but it kind of fluctuates every now and then. And we are very blessed to have three advisors. We owe that to our school district for allowing us to have that many. It definitely takes all three of us to get done what we do. We put in a lot of work and a lot of extra time, and it's a big job for the three of us.
How is the workload divided? What do you teach, and then the other two, if you want to explain that at all?
Sure. As far as classroom goes, honestly, we all share shop classes because the three of us, because of budget cuts and things, we had to, you know, take some cuts to our department. So the three of us now share our industrial arts teacher position, basically, and then teach ag also. Mr. Jones kind of focuses on the ag mechanics side of things. Mr. Schmitz focuses on the horticulture and ag business, and then I focus on the ag science and the animal science side of things. And as far as FFA goes, it's pretty much all three of us hardcore nonstop as far as time being put in and taking kids to anywhere. It's all three of us. So.
And you've got a lot of participation in FFA contests, record books. Several members were receiving awards this year. Just, it's going really well, I guess.
Yeah, it's always, record books are always kind of a struggle no matter what year it is, because it's not something that kids are just jumping for joy to do, but we make it work, and we really stress the importance of that, because most of the time they don't really understand what they're going to learn until it's 4 years down the road and they're out of high school, and they can look back and they understand, you know, how much they do really learn from those. We just have a great group of kids, a huge incoming green hand group, which is really exciting, and we're hoping that they just kind of continue to carry that momentum all the way through high school.
And once again, that was the Highland FFA advisor, Renee Barr. In other news, over the last several years, California farmers have been plagued by drought. However, the problem in 2017 is too much rain, which may be putting a squeeze on the nation's salad supplies. A Bloomberg report says it may take until sometime in May before the nation's grocery store shelves are fully stocked with salads again. Unusually warm weather meant an early end to the winter growing season in Southern California and Western Arizona. The warm weather was followed by unusually heavy rains that pushed back planting dates along the coastal areas of California, which is the largest fruit and vegetable producer in the country. The delays have led to shortfalls of crops like lettuce and broccoli, sending wholesale prices much higher. For example, the cost of a carton of 30 celery heads has almost tripled to $25. A senior produce analyst with Rabobank in Fresno, California, says prices may remain volatile and relatively elevated through mid-May. The Environmental Protection Agency will be in Washington, D.C. Circuit Court starting this morning as the court hears oral challenges to the 2014-16 renewable fuel standard volumes. Politico's Morning Energy report says the renewable fuel standard has supporters and detractors in both major political parties, so this case represents a rare nonpartisan issue for the EPA. The agency will have to defend itself against accusations that it set volumes for conventional biofuels, cellulosic biofuels, and biomass biodiesel too high or too low, depending on who's speaking at the time in the courtroom. The EPA will need to defend its waiver to set the conventional biofuel requirements below congressionally set levels. The EPA will also argue it's under no obligation to change who must comply with the program. EPA's positions in this case maximize administrative flexibility for the agency, something that EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt likely wants to preserve. The Morning Energy report also stressed that this isn't an issue that began when Donald Trump was elected, as it's been a debate for years. And that's all we have for you this morning on your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.